The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
We began this series 6 weeks ago, and many of you have journeyed with us through this study, both in our community group environment, where that study is continuing. Some of the groups are at different stages in the study, and that will continue on. And this has been a great study. A lot of times when we grow up in church, if the Holy Spirit is mentioned, a lot of times we don't know how to take that. We don't know what the Holy Spirit's really all about. We've heard about Jesus and Him dying on a cross for us. We heard about God being this creator who's everywhere. But the Holy Spirit can oftentimes be a mystery to us. And it's hard for us to really understand who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit's purpose is in our life. And this, hopefully, if you've been tracking with us through this study, you've had your mind open a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is. In a few weeks after Easter, we're going to get into a study on the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk about how each of us have different gifts and abilities that come as we become children of God. And hope you'll join us for that study after Easter. It's going to be great. Again, it's going to be there to equip us and make us better as instruments in God's hands. So let's dive into this morning as we kind of bring this current part of our series together to a close. And let's dive in. I want to start by reminding us that the Holy Spirit is God. God exists as God the Father, the all-supreme creator of heaven and earth. There is God the Son. God became flesh and dwelt among us. The book of John tells us, John chapter 1:1, in the beginning was God. God was with the Word, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh, and as the message put it, moved into the neighborhood. He came and made His dwelling among us. Jesus, while on earth, 33 years of living a perfect life, came for one purpose, and that was to die to pay the payment that our sins created. The separation between us as fallen man and a holy God had to be paid, and it was a debt that we could not pay. So Jesus came and took, as this skit so beautifully portrayed, Jesus took the sins that have entangled us upon Himself on the cross. And the Scriptures said that He who was not sin became sin in our place. He took our place on the cross, paying for our sins. Jesus, before He died on the cross, to His close friends, His followers, the disciples, said to them, "It is time for Me to get ready to go, but don't worry, I am going to send another. Not a different kind of person, but the same kind of person. As I have been with you, the Holy Spirit will be in you, and you will have the power to be My witnesses." In Luke chapter 24, it says this: Jesus has died on the cross. He has, over the period of the next 40 days, which we're getting ready to enter into the time after Easter, and He spends 40 days on the earth preparing His followers for a time that they're going to be used to establish the church on this earth. The reason we sit here today is because what Jesus prepared His followers to do. And He goes to them and He says this. He says, "Then He opened their minds so that they could understand the Scriptures." Did you get that? Jesus literally opened up their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. Have you ever looked into God's Word and just found yourself puzzled by what it says? In times like that, I've been encouraged growing up to just pause for a moment. If you don't understand it, pray to the Lord. Pray to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus. Say, "Jesus, help me to understand what it is I'm reading." Jesus Himself opened their minds so that they could understand the Scriptures. In verse 46, He said, He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ Himself will suffer and will rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning here in Jerusalem." This preaching was going to happen by those who Jesus was leaving behind. By Jesus taking our place on the cross 1 John 1:9 says this, if we come to Christ, if we come to the Father and confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The cross made it possible for us to seek forgiveness through our act of confession and repentance, turning from our sins to now follow Him. Jesus said, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning here at Jerusalem. You, He points to those listening, you were my witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay here in the city until you have been clothed with what? What? Power from on high. The promise that Jesus said was, I've been here with you. The last 3 years, we've all walked through life together. We've had some good times. We've had some tough times. Everything that you've seen me do and we've done together, you are now going to do even greater things because I am going to the Father and I am promising that I am sending the Holy Spirit now to come and to be with you so that you can be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we who sit in this room, who know this loving God and Father as our Savior, as a result of the Spirit giving power to those witnesses to proclaim the message throughout all of history. And so here today, my challenge to us is to realize that this very same Spirit that was promised by Jesus Christ to His original followers, His disciples, is the same Holy Spirit that dwells in the hearts of those of us who are children of God here today. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit now lives in you. And you are His chosen instruments to declare this message to those who are far from God and do not yet know Him. My challenge to us today is to realize not only what can the Holy Spirit do for us as individuals, not only can we be comforted by the Holy Spirit in our own pain, not only can we be counseled by the Holy Spirit in our own struggles, not only can we be empowered to reach out to those who God puts in our life, but imagine what we could be as a body united together in the power of the Holy Spirit. Imagine the way that God wants to see this world changed by when brothers and sisters in Christ come together, united together in the power of the Holy Spirit on His mission for His purpose, we will see this world change. Jesus prayed, Father God, Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. When we become a supernatural church, the impossible becomes possible. That is my hope and my prayer. And I know that God has already been doing it. It doesn't take, I shared this a couple weeks ago. It doesn't take you having to understand how food works when you eat it to nourish your body. You don't have to have a PhD in nutrition in order for food to benefit you. And the same way, even though we have not done a lot of focus and study on the Holy Spirit has entered many of you. And what I mean by that is for those of you who are sitting in this room, and you're not sure what you believe about Jesus, you're not sure what you believe about God, the truth is that the Holy Spirit isn't in you. But that doesn't have to stay that way. Jesus said, if you put your faith and trust in me, I promise the Holy Spirit will come from the Father and He will come and live in you. And so my hope, my prayer for you this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you would first take that step today to realize that, as this skit demonstrated, that Jesus on the cross took your sins upon Himself so that you could sit here today and realize that He loves you, that if you were the only one in this world with sin in your life, Jesus still would have come down to die for you because He loves you that much. And all you have to do is accept this gift freely given by Christ. The gift of free life, the gift of Him becoming your Lord and Savior. God then, as we become children of God, His purpose here is to empower us. At the end of that verse, it said, go and wait in the city for the what to come? The P word? Power. even though we become children of God, it is impossible for us to fulfill the mission that God has for us on our own. They had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Jesus was going to die. He had actually already died when he said this. He was going to then ascend into heaven, and the Holy Spirit was going to come down. And the Holy Spirit did come down and began to fill the hearts of all believers. And if you're sitting here today, you have the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead living inside of you. That same power to help you to deal with struggles. That same power to help you to deal with addictions. That same power to help you heal broken relationships. That same power to set you on the right course, living the kind of life that God has intended us all to live. And it begins with us surrendering to Him and His will. So there's a few things I want us to realize today. How can we become truly the church that God wants us to be? There are four things I want to share with you. First of all, it's not just about our talents, but it's also about the Spirit's power. That's number one in your notes. It's not just about our talents. And you can see, if you were here last night, how many of you were here last night? Okay, about half of you. That's great. There was a lot of talents here. We had a student get up here. Jurashek. Loyal Jurashek. He got up here, no Bible on stage, no cue cards, no monitors. He got up here and started with Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, and went verse by verse, word by word, through, where did he end? Like, end of chapter 2? Only because he ran out of time. He just, the words were just flowing out of him. And it wasn't just, you know, rote recitation. He was speaking about it with passion. He spoke about how if we allow the Word to get into our lives, it will transform us and bring the power that Christ is talking about here. We need to open up our lives. And it's not just about our talents. God wants to use your talents. Some of you are gifted musicians. Some of you are great teachers. Some of you are crafted builders, construction workers. Some of you are great leaders. God wants to use all of those things. He gave you those talents so that you would use Him. But God has so much more that He wants to give you. He wants to give you power. When someone asked me years ago why I wanted to plant a church, or actually why I hadn't yet planted a church, I was in this meeting with them and I said, I've gotten to the point in life after 20 years of ministry to know that I have a talent when it comes to storytelling. I spent 20 years in youth ministry at a lot of camps, telling stories. I like to get in front of people. Throughout high school, I was a thespian. I like acting. There was all kinds of things that there were certain talents that I know that God could use, but the last thing I want to do is do something in my own ability. I want to wait till I know that that's what God wants. I want to wait till I know that God has led me and given me the power to help plant the church. I believe that many of us could draw a crowd. Let's face it, there are many crowds that are gathered all during the week, apart from the power of God. Being a church is more than being able to draw a crowd. Being a church is more than just having some good musicians that have talents. Being a church is more than just having a few people who are good at reaching out to the community. God calls us to more than that. There's a story in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 18. We don't have time this morning to go through the whole thing. But if you turn to 1 Kings or look at the phrase, the verse on here. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36 is where I'll start reading. But before I read there, I'll give you the background. Basically, this man Elijah was a chosen one of God to declare to this nation and all the peoples around that they were off track, that God loved them, but instead they were worshiping themselves, they were worshiping idols, they were worshiping all kinds of things to try and fill the holes in their life, and they were looking in all the wrong places. Elijah was sent, and there was 900 prophets that worshiped this god named Baal. They had come together Elijah by himself stood alone, defending God, and these prophets of Baal had gathered this huge community of believers. And they started this huge worship celebration, and they were worshiping their God. They were praising their God. They were sacrificing of themselves and of their belongings to their God. But there was no power. Their God was silent. Elijah said, "Let's see whose God is real." He said, You do all that you need to get your God to respond. Let's see if he receives your sacrifice. And so they went for hours and hours praising their God, praying to their God, pleading to their God, and their God was silent. They had a crowd. You could say in some ways they had a successful church gathering. They had close to 1,000 people. But there was no power. God was not present. God was not in that. At the end of the story, Elijah gets up. And he's like, "Okay, you've had your time." And he simply prays to God. He has this altar that's been built to this false god taken down. He rebuilds an altar to the real God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he performs no great musical selection. He doesn't give some amazing speech that melts their hearts. He simply calls out to God and he prays fervently. "You are the God of gods. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. Let your glory be known." And the scripture tells us that the fire of God fell. 2 Kings 18 says this: "At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, 'O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me so that these people will know, Lord, that you are God and that you are turning their hearts back again.'" Verse 38 says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and licked up all the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and they cried out, 'Elijah is amazing.'" Is that what they said? What did they say? Say it. That is my heart's cry, is that we would not be a church that moves into a community and they say, "Wow, have you heard about Hope Hill Church? Have you heard about how they take care of people in need? Have you heard about that great band that plays every Sunday morning?" There is that guy that teaches every once in a while. He's okay. But have you heard about how great Hope Hill Church is? That's not my hope. That's not my prayer. My prayer is that we would be here for one purpose: to make God famous in this city. That we would be a light that doesn't look at ourselves, that we point to God, that we become a supernatural church, not just a church filled with a bunch of talented people. The prophets looked and they fell prostrate on the ground and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." We need to discover the true power of God in our lives so that the people around us will see our good works and not glorify us, but glorify our Father in heaven and come to know who He truly is and His love for them. The second thing is we need to forget about God's will for our life. Your notes: forget about God's will for your life. What? I thought we're supposed to seek God for His will. Here's what I mean by this. So many times, this simple statement can be debilitating. It can keep us from following God in the here and now because we're waiting to hear what God wants us to do in our future. God cares more about what we do in the next 10 minutes than what our plans are in the next 10 years. God wants you to get on His page. He doesn't want you sitting here saying, "God, come and bless my plans." God wants us to realize that He has called us for His purpose and His mission. in the book, Forgotten God, on page 120, I love the way that Francis Chan puts this. He says, I think a lot of us need to forget about God's will for my life. God cares more about our response to the Holy Spirit's leading today in this moment than about what we intend to do next year. In fact, the decisions we make next year will profoundly affect, will be profoundly affected by the degree to which we submit to the Spirit right now in today's decisions. It is easy to use the phrase, God's will for my life, as an excuse for inaction or even disobedience. That's not God's will for my life. Margaret's called to do that. It's easy for us to use the phrase, God's will for my life, as an excuse for inaction or even disobedience. It's much less demanding to think about God's will for our future than it is to ask Him for what He wants you to do in the next 10 minutes. It's safer to commit to following Him someday instead of this day. If we're going to be a supernatural church, we need to start thinking each moment about, God, what do you want me to do right now? I've got this coworker next to me that's struggling. God, what do you want me to do right now? I heard a story. When I say story, I don't mean fake. I heard a story. I don't know what else to say. A guy a couple weeks ago sat in a conference room with his coworker who was struggling with some deep stuff and led him to the Lord right there in his conference room. That's the kind of people God's looking for. For those of us who are in tune to the Holy Spirit, looking for open doors and opportunities, actually I want to strike that. God is looking for people who are willing to be used by Him even if the door isn't open. Sometimes God wants us to bust through a wall. Many of us, we wait for opportunities. Oh, God clearly must not want me to go there. He didn't send me enough money to help. Sometimes God wants you to sacrifice so that you can help. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, For He says, In the time of my favor I heard you, and the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you this, now is the time for God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Don't wait for next year. Don't wait for you to have things in order. If God is calling you to do something, obey Him. And that leads us to our third thing. The path to the filling of the Holy Spirit in our life. We've been talking about this. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We'll get into that more. But the path, in order for you to be filled by the Holy Spirit, the path to the filling of the Holy Spirit is paved with simple obedience. As God leads us and we follow in His footsteps and as we follow and what He's commanding us to do, He joins us in that midst of walking together, of walking in the Spirit, and we put ourselves under the flow of the Holy Spirit pouring into our life, and we are then filled up to the point to where we can overflow and affect other people. Jesus said this again as He was telling and preparing His disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. He said these words, and let us not forget verse 15, which sets this all up. This is in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. Jesus said, if you love me, what? Do what? Keep my commands. Obey. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will send you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. If we want the presence and the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we need to start obeying Him in the here and now. And number four, we don't need to not only forget about God's will for our life, and please hear me right, yes, God wants us. Our heartbeat should be beating for the things that God desires. We should be in tune with what His will is. But let's focus more on the day-to-day, on the here and now, on the things we need to know now. And let's not try to... I was in a coaching session being prepared to help plant this church. And one of the things that stuck out to me was a statement A lot of us, you know, we were challenged. Do you have a mission statement? Do you have a vision statement for your church? Do you guys know what ours is? Okay, that was basically it. So our mission and our hope here is to glorify God by transforming lives and impacting the world. That's great. You know, sure, we can say it in a few sentences, but what we need to focus on is not figuring out what our mission is, because God doesn't need us to come up with our own mission. Number four, it says we don't need a mission for our church. God created a church for His mission. There's a mission from the beginning of time that God had set in place, and that was God loved us so much that He wanted to redeem us. He wanted us to be in a loving relationship with Him, and that is the mission of the church, is to help people realize that God loves them and that He wants them to come back to know Him as their Heavenly Father. In Acts chapter 2, the very beginning of the church, we see this clearly, we see this plainly. Acts chapter 2, we go there often because we need to be reminded what being the church is truly all about. Acts chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, and if you've never highlighted this section yet, you need to. You need to circle it, underline it, highlight it. If you don't own a Bible, take one of the ones here. It's free, our gift to you. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and following says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and breaking bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracles and signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together, not only in the temple courts, but also in their homes. They broke bread together in their homes and shared meals. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of everyone. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. God wants us a united body of believers, empowered by the Holy Spirit, set on His mission for His purpose to bring Him glory. Has God led you to be a part of Hope Hill Church? If so, are you allowing Him to use you to be a part of what He's doing both within our church and in the community around us? God has a mission, and He wants us to join Him in it. And we can't do it apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there are three things I want to challenge you with as we leave. First of all, do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you realize that He died on a cross for you? Have you accepted His love in your life and the free gift that He offers of a new life, not just in heaven one day, but here and now? Number two, are you a person who's put your faith in God, but you've kind of drifted off course? And the Holy Spirit's speaking to you now, trying to get you to recalculate your life, trying to get you to come back to Him. Maybe you need to do that this morning, and you need to rededicate your life and say, yes, God, I've been off mission. I've been focused on my own life, my own will, my own needs, or the future. Instead, God, I want to focus on the here and now. What do you want me to do today? I need to rededicate my life. I need to get on mission with you. Point me in the right direction. And number three, after we realize the need for salvation, the need for us to possibly rededicate our life, then we need to ask God, where do you want us to participate? God is not looking for people to come and sit in bleachers. He wants us all in the game, all playing our part. What's your part? And maybe you don't know, and that's honest. But at least start saying, God, show me where you want me. I'm ready. I'm available. Use me. And I want that to be your prayer today as we close our services, that you would say, okay, God, I thank you for saving me. If you've not done that, start there. Number two, God, put me in the right direction. Put me on path with you. I need to be on your mission. And number three, where do I fit in here? Where do I fit in your plan? Is there something you want me doing at work? Is there a coworker I need to reach out to? Is there a Bible study you want me to start? Is there a soccer moms group you want me to join to help influence them to know you? What is it? Students, you've got a couple months left, and there are going to be some students that, as you finish this year, whether you're graduating as a senior, whether this is your last year in whatever grade, don't let this year end without you letting God use you. What's so awesome about last night is a big handful of the seniors have been praying for kids at their lunch table. I mean, like literally, there are kids that will sit at their lunch table and they aren't in church anywhere. And so four or five of these students at Forest Park High School have been praying all year, God, give us an opportunity to share our faith with our friends at our lunch table. This skit was done last night and a few other skits and the gospel that was shared through the power of the of Loyal Juracek reciting. Those friends that sit at that lunch table, they were all here last night. A result of prayers being fervently prayed for. What are we doing to be on God's mission? What are you doing to participate in what God's doing? He's already at work and he invites us to join him in it. What are you doing? We're going to have prayer partners in the back, on the sides. I'm going to be up here at front. We want to pray with you as our band leads us to close us out this morning. Are you saved? Do you know Lord, our Lord and Savior as your Lord and Savior? Number two, do you need to get your life back on path? Maybe you're already a Christian, but you've kind of drifted away. Number three, are you serving where you know God wants you to be serving? And if not, why don't you join one of our prayer partners, come up here and pray with me, and we'll together figure it out. Let's start. Let's start saying, God, use us. We want to see you do God-sized things here. We don't want to have a church that's just a crowd. We want to have a church where we see the fire of God fall. Do you want to see that? Let's pray.